We're dealing with sick people here.
The Game Plan with Dave Schultz rolls on live on the Sports Station, WNSP, online at WNSP.com, and on the WNSP app.
But the game roll, the big dog, stay on the board.
As Al Cervic said in Caddyshack to Judge Smales, okay, you can owe me. Someone said they bet Dave that Bryce Young, bet Dave a paycheck that Bryce Young is faster than Stetson Bennett. Didn't take long for someone to put in their NCSA. Stetson 4.6, Bryce 4.8.
Oh, no.
Cha-ching!
Oh, no. Someone's got your back there, bud.
Not only that.
Hate to see it.
In the 5-10-5 shuttle, Bryce is a 4.6. Stetson Bennett 4.24. Woo! Not only is he faster, he's quicker.
Smoking.
Little fun. All right. Not a better quarterback, just faster. All right. Although he does have, I guess this is, they post their own stuff. Stetson Bennett, personal statement. Along with my quick footwork, accurate passing, and breakaway speed. That may be overstating it a little bit. Breakaway speed. I am able to elevate my teammates' performance through my leadership skills, both on and off the field. I have a 4.0 grade point average and will strive to maintain that at the collegiate level. I love the game of football and want to continue to play it at a higher level. My first offer is from Mercer University.
Well, he's going to absolutely kill it on the next level selling insurance, I'm sure.
I mean, you know, based on what we saw last night, he could be an NFL backup quarterback for a long time. I'm sorry. All right, he could absolutely do that. He just doesn't have the total size. All right, he hosts Bam Insider pregame show. He is Mick Gillespie. Mick, how are you?
Yeah, doesn't he remind you of Greg McElroy a little bit, Stetson Bennett?
Was McElroy that kind of athlete? I thought McElroy was...
I mean, I don't know. But it's kind of a game manager,
yes.
You know, makes the big plays when he has to, you know, doesn't really wow you. But, I mean, look at what Stetson Bennett has done this year.
Yeah.
Good to talk to you guys.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. All right, your overall assessment, before we get to the game, your overall assessment of Alabama this season?
I think it's been look, for what they lost in the draft last year, Dave, I think going 11-1 has been a really good season. And I mean, maybe I'm in the minority, but if you'd have said, hey, you're going to lose all those guys in the NFL draft, and you're going to lose one game by 3 points on a last-second field goal, and you're going to beat Auburn in one of the greatest Iron Bowls of all time, and let me say, look, it was terrible to watch up until the last minute, but I'd say I'd take that. You know, and go to the SEC championship game. I mean, they lost so many players. I didn't think that after last year that the team would only lose one game. Honestly, I thought at the beginning of the year that there were three losses.
Oh, wow.
And they proved me wrong.
Well, even I didn't think that. I mean, I bet that they were not going to win 12, and everyone giving me grief on which game they were going to lose. Of course, that's not what I bet. But even the game that they did lose, I bet that I didn't bet them to win it. But I said they were going to win it 42-10. All right. So then, what has impressed you with this team that has surpassed your expectations?
Well, first off, Nick Saban can coach. I mean, there's just no doubt about it.
Right, hold on. You got good sources on that?
Look, this year he's been the nicest coach I've ever seen. You know, like he's patting everybody on the back and he's you know, rubbing shoulders. He's been just so sweet to the guys, trying to instill confidence. I just feel like that's where it starts. Like they have instilled this belief that they're supposed to win. And even when they're terrible, like they were last week down on the plains, they find a way to win. And you got to give them a lot of credit for that. I think that's the most important thing in sports, is knowing how to win the game that you're playing, right, and having one more point than the opposition. The other thing that's impressed me really are two guys, Bryce Young, who I think has a really, really good shot to be the Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, he's one game away from doing that. And the guy on the team that's better than him, and that's Will Anderson, who's like watching Derek Thomas. I mean, like, I remember everyone telling me when I went to Alabama as a student how great DT was. Well, here's our DT. I mean, this guy's a monster. He's in the backfield every play. You can't stop him. You double him. He just blows through everyone. So Will Anderson Jr. has been just awesome. So I'd put it there. There's a lot of things that we can sit and talk. I'm sure you're going to ask me that I wish was better with this team. But the ability to win, the head coach, and then those two players are definitely positive.
All right, well, I'll try to avoid the questions since I like asking the questions and I like you to answer the questions, all right? let me see if I can figure out a better question, a better way of putting that. All right, so let's do this way. Why do we think, it appears this way anyways, the offensive line has not improved?
Man, they've been not good. You know, I mean, I just don't think they're that good. Honestly, I just don't think the players that are on the line, I mean, besides Evan Neal, you know, I don't look at this line and get blown away. You know, think about this. Chris Owens was the savior in the Iron Bowl, and think about how bad he's been, right? Eakier's yeah. been bad. George was injured last week, I guess. They just aren't that good. You know, and then people say to me, well, you know, you're being hard. Well, Alabama has set a standard, and this offensive line just hasn't lived up to that standard. They're just not good enough. They're 11-1, but it's because Bryce Young is able to run for his life back there and make things happen. If it was another quarterback, like, say, maybe Mac Jones, this team's lost those three games. If it was Paul Tyson. But I think that really goes to show how good Bryce has been, because, you know, he's able to outrun a guy or two every single time he passes, it feels like. I know that's not true, but, you know, it feels like that, and make things happen. The offensive line has been C-, D+. They haven't been that good.
Talking to Mick Gillespie from Bama Insider. All right, hear me out. I don't know if I'm saying this right. I think I am. So what LSU did, along with Auburn, you know, they had the zero blitz deal. They were just bringing the house, like, almost every time, right? And Alabama had all kinds of issues with that. I'm not sure George is going to do that to start with, because they don't have to, right? They can get to the quarterback with just the front four. However, though, that may be easier for Alabama to recognize. Do you think that's going to be the case, or do you think Kirby is going to exploit what appears to have been an Alabama weakness for the last couple of games? Or two out of three past couple of games.
No, Dave, that's why I love your show. I mean, you and me are on the same page here. I was thinking the same thing all week. Like, if you're Kirby, you say, you know what, I'm going to get to the quarterback with my four that are as good as any four in the country, or am I going to exploit the fact that when I overload one side of this offensive line, namely the right side, but if I overload it, I'm going to get to the quarterback every time, although I am taking a risk with numbers, you know. I'm curious to see how Kirby attacks that. I mean, if you can get pressure with your four past their five or six or however many, you're probably going to win the game. I mean, we've seen Alabama do that time and time again over the years and win championships. So the risk that Georgia takes if they don't take advantage of where we clearly see a weakness for this Alabama line, and that's dealing with the blitz and overloading one side of the line. Alabama's only hope to win this game is to get the early lead and then turn it into a defensive struggle. And I've tried to figure out how they can win this game, and I feel like if they can turn it into a Clemson-type style game, when Georgia and Clemson played at the beginning of the year, and they had the lead, you know what? Maybe they forced Georgia to make some mistakes. I mean, I've looked at this Georgia team, and they haven't had a close game all year. Maybe you just give them a close game, and the pressure of that kicks in. But I think that if you're Georgia, you pick your spots, you go with your four some, but you also take advantage of an Alabama offensive line and running backs and tight ends, you know, just to basically protection that misses a lot and blitz.
Talking to Mick Gillespie from Bama Insider. All right, so one of my keys, you mentioned Will Anderson. It can't just be sacks and tackles. He needs to cause a turnover. Obviously, a scoop and score would be a bonus. I'm not asking for that. But he needs to create a turnover, whether that's a fumble in the backfield or he hits him as he's throwing it and it flutters and somebody and Mathis picks it off, whatever the case is. He needs to create at least one turnover to get Alabama going in this football game, or at the end, I guess. Doesn't matter when.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. I mean, I think Alabama's going to have turnovers. They're going to have to catch some breaks. Maybe the officiating will treat them like they treated Auburn last game and treat Georgia like they treated Alabama, and they'll get some calls. You know, like, there has to be a lot of things that go Alabama's way for them to win this game. But there's a movie called The Unforgiven with a guy named Clint Eastwood, and it's a great movie, and he's an old gunfighter, and he walks in, and people are just so scared of his reputation that he ends up winning all the gunfights, you know? You saw it. And I feel like that's Nick Saban in Alabama. Like, there's a chance that Georgia just gets so freaked out by those crimson jerseys with the white numerals, and I mean this, that they just have one of those bad games because they're just looking at Alabama and expecting Alabama to beat them.
All right, so let's do it. How nervous are you for this one? Because it is rules reversed, right? It doesn't matter if we happen to be in the state of Alabama or if we're in the state of Georgia or if we're sitting in Kansas somewhere. Everyone kind of feels like my producer Root does. They're Alabama. They'll find a way, right? Like you said, this year they found a way. They actually almost found a way to beat A&M in a game they were two touchdowns down at and let a kickoff be returned for a touchdown. And they, as far as I'm concerned, they still should have won the football game. How much do you think that's going to play in Georgia's mind?
Look, I mean, we're all L.A. people. I'm in Fairhope. You're over there in Mobile. And I'm going to tell you this. And it hurts my heart to say this, but look, I love Alabama. I graduated from Alabama. I've enjoyed covering Alabama, and I would love Alabama to win this football game. But if you said to me, you know, like they tell me on the college sports book, which is one of the jobs I have, you know, to tell you what I think as far as, you know, how this game's going to turn out, I think the line in this game is way off. I mean, I think Georgia should be a favorite by 14 points,
what?
13 or 14.
Oh, man.
I really do. Look, I mean, I've seen Alabama play. Like, they don't block. You know, there's no running backs. Georgia's just destroying everyone. They're hungry. You know, sometimes I feel like this team that Alabama has this season has had guys like Billingsley who have been a little complacent. Yeah, Alabama's going to show up and give them a fight. But I feel like Alabama's overall health going into this game, too, really concerns me. You know, we talk about how great John Metchie is, and I think he's a good player, but he dropped the ball too much. I mean, he's going to have to catch all those first-half passes that he didn't catch last week to win this game. You know, Jameson Williams can't get kicked out for, you know, targeting. I mean, like, they can't make these stupid mistakes that this team has made all year long and get away with it. They have gotten so many. They have won these games where they really could have lost, and it's because I feel like Nick Saban just kind of has this mentality that you're going to win. Georgia's hungry and ready to beat them. And, look, if I was driving over to Biloxi right now, I'd take that 6.5 all day in this game, and it hurts my heart to say that.
Yeah, the line has gone from 4.5 to 6.5, and you know the line isn't what people think the game is going to be a result of. The idea is to get 50% on both sides. It has gone from 4.5 to 6.5 and sort of leveled off here. We'll see what happens tomorrow. You guys got a show tomorrow? When's the show tomorrow?
Hey, look, yeah, we're on tonight, 6 o'clock on the Bama Insider YouTube channel, and you can listen to it on radio tomorrow across the state, but you can watch it tonight. When we preview this game, that's a sneak peek. You know, I love Alabama, but, man, I'm doing the same thing that you guys are doing, you and Root. And I'm going, man, I just, in my mind, and as much as I want to find a way for Alabama to win this game, I don't see it. But I'm going to tell you guys this right now. every time I bet against Nick Saban, I lose. So who knows?
Right. That's not usually a winning proposition. Although, especially. All right, bottom of the hour. Connor O'Gara, Saturday down south, is hopping on.
Quickly, someone wanted a update from the 2A state championship game, courtesy of Ben Thomas. Clark County up in that game 42-35, and that's late in the third quarter.
It is amazing how time flies, Root. So we will be here, and we will, you know, we may be sitting here talking about a Georgia championship, an Alabama championship, a Michigan championship, and then, boom, it's Valentine's Day. And then, boom, it's St. Patrick's Day, right? And then, boom, it's Memorial Day, right?
Yeah, scary.
It goes by fast.
Time.
Just really fast, right? We were waiting forever for this college football season, and this is like the last week of the, and it's not the regular season per se, but it, you know, there is a nice break after this weekend.
Right.
Right. And so, Root, I've already had these braces for a month. Saturday is a month. Right?
Oh, no. I get swept up in time. Time is crazy.
And
it's a tough concept to keep up with.
I realized just the other day, because I got the plastic liners. You really can't see them at all, although you guys probably can hear the difference.
No, you've gotten good at talking with them.
All right. But when I take them off,
I could definitely tell.
Well, when you take, yeah. And so when you take them off to eat, the other day, and maybe last night when I was having meatballs at the Make-A-Wish thing, my bite has definitely changed. Definitely, it is shifting my teeth. So the thing works. And Sunday will be 4 weeks. I will be on plastic braces number 3 on Sunday. So already 1 month down. And I figured, I told you, Root, when we get these things, you know, the end of basketball season, basically, yeah. Right? The end of February will be 4 months. That'll be halfway through it.
Jeez.
And we only got, well, I got 3 more months to go.
Oh. The wise T.J. Smith. Days go slow, years go fast.
Yeah, I guess today went a little bit slow. You know why today went slow?
Just an overall.
It's because we had our show set at like 10:30.
That always helps.
When we don't, when we have the show not set until 2:30, flies by. Absolutely flies by. So what do we got? Who's Auburn got? Who's Auburn got this week, basketball wise?
Well, they had
UCF.
UCF, yeah. Which they won that game.
Yeah.
Let's check that schedule out.
As again, Alabama's playing Gonzaga tomorrow night. Again, we'll have that action.
Was hoping that would be the number one team in the country, Gonzaga, but not after their loss.
Right. Let's see. So Alabama's got their work cut out for them.
Another update, 49-41, 10 minutes left in the game, Clark County up.
All right. Auburn is playing Yale.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yesterday.
I know Yale's head coach is it Joe Jones or Johnny Jones?
Do not ask me.
James Jones. Oh. His brother Joe.
Jim Jones.
Worked at, right. His brother Joe was at Oswego when I was there. So I don't know James, but I do know his brother Joe. That's a long time ago, brother. So there's that connection. So they are playing Yale tomorrow.
Yeah, that Alabama game is the only game on Saturday where two ranked teams are playing each other. And
that's it?
It's quite a good one, yeah.
Oh, all right. Orange are actually down here, I think. They're taking on Florida State.
Mm.
If I wasn't going, you know, if I didn't think about the Lafayette game, I could have gone to Tallahassee. That's the same amount of time in the other direction.
Yeah.
Could have gone to that. Although no tailgating for a Florida State SU basketball game. South is playing Jacksonville State, and I don't have a line on that yet, but I'm going to tell you, again, it's going to be a tough game. Jacksonville State almost beat Wichita State. Wichita State needed a 40-footer to win the game.
We really never talked about Rich Rod going to Jacksonville State, did we?
That's a huge, yes.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we mentioned it, I think, but that's,
I don't think we talked about it at all.
I don't know if we mentioned it at all, really. But
someone tweeted out that the most instrumental person in
what a name
Alabama football history is now just an hour and a half outside of Tuscaloosa. Think if he took the job.
Oh man,
we always talk about if Drew Brees went to Miami instead of New Orleans. Think if Rich Rod took the Alabama job.
No doubt. That's just a huge name for that school.
Mark Richt's life would be totally different.
Oh, I mean, yeah, the ripple effects of
Les Miles' life would be totally different. Gus Malzahn's life would probably be totally different. Nick Saban's life would be totally different. Maybe Belichick's and Brady's life would be totally different. Yeah, no, that's absolutely crazy. All right, you want to take a timeout? Or do we want to get this? All right, let's take a timeout. Yeah, I always go, what if Breeze took the quarterbacking job in Miami? You don't go the other way. I never bring up if Rich Rod took the Alabama job. Remember, Saban was at least the second choice. At least. Rumors have it that it was the right choice. Back after this, Connor O'Gara, Saturday Down South. Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP.
Today's music on Sports Radio 105.5 is brought to you by 96.5 The Crab, classic rock and blues.
All right, a couple of football notes. John Canzano, actually a columnist with the Oregonian, is reporting that Clemson AD Dan Radakovich is now taking the Miami gig, which in conference is huge. He's from Miami. And they're waiting for Mario Cristobal, who's about to kick it off in the Pac-12 championship game, whether he signed an extension or not. It is crazy. Connor O'Gara with Saturday Down South joins us now talking SEC championship. Slow news day again today. Connor, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. It just never stops spinning. You know, we'll kind of wait and see. I saw Dennis Odd also came out and reported that there might be a little bit of a holdup with that hiring. If that does happen, man, we're asking a lot of questions. We're asking long-term Dabo Sweeney questions. I mean, the coaching carousel, I keep thinking, oh, yeah, it's going to stop spinning soon, and I should just assume that until January, this sucker's going to be going at warp speed.
All right, so let's take it to the next step. All right, the Clemson AD, let's say the Clemson AD takes a Miami job. Cristobal goes from Oregon to Miami. Does Dabo take the Oklahoma job?
No. No. what does he have to gain there? You know, like, Oklahoma just had one of the best coaches in the sport, and he saw his ceiling and left for USC. Right. Dabo's won national championships at Clemson. It wouldn't make any sense for him to go to Oklahoma. I think he's got a good situation there. I think this is a floor year for them. I still expect Clemson to bounce back. I think that you can never say never in this day and age, given what we just saw from Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley. The difference is that those guys couldn't win national championships. Dabo wins national championships. I mean, he's won two of the last four.
Right.
And those guys left because they couldn't. And Dabo is not in any position all of a sudden think that he can't keep winning national championships at Clemson.
All right, let's talk SEC championship. Your overall assessment of this football game.
You know, it's crazy because if you break it down on paper, everything you look at suggests Georgia domination. The battle at the line of scrimmage should be so in favor of the Dogs. That defensive line against an Alabama offensive line that, to be frank, I thought they played the worst game that we've seen from a Saban-coached Alabama offensive line since Alabama has been Alabama. I mean, that was horrendous against Auburn. Bryce Young is out there running for his life. They couldn't run the football. And this is an Alabama offense that's down to one healthy scholarship running back, Trey Sanders, the former five-star, who's got no games with more than 12 touches in his entire career. And so now you look at that situation and say, well, advantage Georgia, Dogs should be able to pin their ears back. I mean, haven't had an opponent score more than 17 points on them all year. They've trailed for only 20 minutes and 1 second, like, advantage Dogs, but then you just kind of look at the history and you say, well, cosmic forces say that this is going to stay close and maybe Bama will have a chance because Kirby's blown the 3 second half leads and he's been outscored by Nick Saban in the fourth quarter 31-0. So you look at those things and you say, well, you can't count Bama out. Bama's got the fourth quarter experience. 6 of 8 games they played in SEC play were one score games in the fourth quarter. Georgia, meanwhile, hasn't trailed in a game later than 9:42 left in the second quarter. Like, all those different things suggest, all right, if this gets close late, advantage Alabama. But, man, I just tend to think that this Georgia team is going to be able to put its foot on the gas in the third quarter and run away with this thing.
All right, so how does Alabama keep it close?
They keep it close by kind of muddying it up a little bit from a defensive side. Like, if all of a sudden we're talking about a 21-0 Georgia lead, that's bad news bears. But where it can get interesting is if it is a little bit of this kind of back and forth, and if it is a lower scoring game, I actually think in a weird way that favors Alabama. I don't think you can expect to get into a shootout with this Georgia defense. That just doesn't happen. Like, I don't think Bama's going into Atlanta and putting up 35 points. That group is just too disciplined. And even though we question, oh, how's it going to look if they're actually able to get, you know, if they're actually able to get tested on the back end with that secondary, I still think that this is such a difficult group to be able to match up with for 60 minutes. So I think like a 24-17 type of game favors them. Now, you have to get creative offensively. Bill O'Brien's got to call the game of his life, but you need to be able to capitalize on those turnover opportunities on defense, whether that's Will Anderson forcing a strip sack and getting the Stetson Bennett, whether that's Josh Jobe stepping in front of one, or, I mean, Malachi Moore, name your guy. I think you've got to be able to make one of those big-time plays and not miss those turnover opportunities, because I think Georgia's going to get some short fields. I think they're going to benefit from it. But that's pretty much Alabama's path to a victory, and I think it's a relatively narrow one at that.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Will Anderson. He's had this great year, but for the last few weeks, he's been getting to the quarterback, but they hang on to the football. The scoop and score would be great, but he's got to force either a turnover or, you know, a fumble, or, you know, he hits Bennett as he's throwing, and, you know, Mathis comes up with a fluttering ball out of the air.
Something like that, right? Like that's what it's going to take, and you need your superstars to play like superstars. And, you know, I kind of question the people who are saying this Georgia offense is so limited. I think that's just a natural narrative that people are going to have because maybe they haven't watched the 2021 version of Stetson Bennett, but it actually executes Todd Monken's offense. I mean, what really wasn't able to do that at points last year. And some people say, well, maybe his shoulder injury had something to do with that. I think he's just a better football player. He's a better football player. I think he's got a better rapport with these young receivers. Who would have thought that Georgia would be 12-0, the undisputed number one team in all of college football, and their leading receivers are Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey, and their quarterback is Stetson Bennett. I mean, nobody could have seen this coming, and if Kirby is able to find a way to get over the Alabama hump, man deserves a lot of credit because it's not as simple as just rolling out a bunch of 5-stars and hoping for the best.
Yeah, there is this perception, and stats have something to do with it because he throws a lot more, but Bryce Young has 4,000 yards. Stetson Bennett has like 2,000 yards. One has 20 touchdown passes. One has 40. But interestingly enough, and this may be old, like a month ago, but Bryce Young in Alabama was averaging 43 points a game. With Stetson Bennett in the game as the Georgia starting quarterback, they averaged 42.2 points a game. They tell me Stetson Bennett is too small at 5'11", 190, but Bryce Young is 6'195". And so I don't know what the perception is, and we're having a nice little disagreement that I won someone's weekly paycheck on, which apparently is $82.50. I'll take it because I think Stetson Bennett is faster than Bryce Young. Turns out that he is.
You know, it's interesting because they use their legs in different sort of ways. Bryce Young kind of uses it more of like the Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield type of way on offense, where you kind of see him roll out and he's running to throw. He's not running to be able to get a first down with his legs, though he can do that.
Right.
He's not necessarily looking to take on that contact because, quite frankly, with his frame, you don't really want that. And the difference with this Georgia offense and why Stetson Bennett, in some ways, you have these moments where you're like, man, this almost feels better than like the Jake Fromm days when he was at his best, is because Stetson Bennett can call his own number on those RPOs, and you have to respect it. And he has developed a really good eye for it, and it's kept drives alive for Georgia, and it's why they've been so efficient. I mean, they're third in the country in yards per play. This is a group that has firepower on offense. They've got a diverse running game. It might not be a vintage Georgia running game because it doesn't have the big headliner guy. I know everybody knows Zamir White, James Cook, but at the same time, like, this group is capable. It's more than capable, and they're going to try and follow the path of maybe a 2015 Alabama with Jake Coker at quarterback, when we haven't seen a non-NFL stud basically playing in the national championship since 2015 with Jake Coker. And can Stetson Bennett be that guy? Well, if you're going to be that guy, you better have all the pieces around you. And that, I think he has.
Yeah, just to let you know, there will be no Jake Coker slander from the St. Paul's grad and Mobile native here on this station. Just to let you know, Connor. No Jake Coker slander. I do have a question for you. Let me see if I get this out. I've asked everybody this question. Because Georgia is so good up front, and they can get to the quarterback, unlike Auburn without blitzing, unlike LSU without blitzing, and those two teams thoroughly confused and outmanned Alabama's offensive line. Does Kirby send the house to confuse Alabama, or does he try to just keep the, you know, drop seven back and make Bryce Young thread a needle because he can get to him with his front four? Which way do you think Kirby's smart and the defense goes?
Well, they'll be diverse, but they don't have to send six or seven. I mean, I'd be surprised if we saw that, because Derek Mason did that at times, too, in that game, and he really tested the right side of that Alabama offensive line, which has had issues all year. And I expect Georgia to do some similar things, but I think we see that with some stunts. I think you see Jalen Carter kind of moved around. He's the guy that's just everywhere. And then the question I have is Channing Tindall spying Bryce Young? Because he is so good at that. And we saw with that matchup against Tennessee with Hendon Hooker, a guy that he sacked three times in that football game, forced a fumble, I mean, hurried him a bunch of other times. Like, that's what Channing Tindall is going to be able to do against Bryce Young, in my opinion. And that's why he's so important in this matchup. Rui's going to want to talk about the headliners, the Jordan Davises and the Kobe Deans. But to me, that guy is really what can make a difference, because if you get to Bryce Young in those spots and all of a sudden you're looking at 3rd and 16, that's where this Georgia team is really going to take off. That's where they start to force the turnovers, and this thing's going to get out of hand for Alabama.
You got a prediction for me?
35-21 dog.
All right.
Look, I'm saying Alabama's going to score more points than anybody has against this Georgia defense all year, so that's not bad, right?
Well, I have it 31-17, so basically the same difference.
Not
Georgia.
So we agree. Nothing else to talk about, right?
Right. Right. Although I am rooting for Alabama for personal and business purposes. I got nothing to talk about come like Tuesday if Alabama loses.
We're
on to recruiting.
I disagree.
We're on to recruiting.
Whoa. Dave, what? Come on. I mean, Alabama loss is... I always say this, like, the people that criticize us for rooting for Alabama in this business and criticize people that started on South, they say, like, oh, you just root for Alabama all the time. It's like, No, the most interesting thing is when Alabama loses and when they do have that moment where it's somebody else's time to shine, and it's more interesting to be able to talk about, like, all right, well, how does Saban bounce back from this and where do they need to get better here? It's from a content perspective, it's very, very interesting when Alabama loses. I don't have a dog in the fight.
Yeah, that's not what I found out in the South. The South is very different compared to the Midwest, maybe the West, and certainly the Northeast. When they lose, they don't want to hear it. When they lose, they go away, especially like Saints fans, LSU fans. Once in a while, they get riled up, but they're not like, you know, if you go up north and it's, you know, Yankees, Mets. No, they much more complain when something goes wrong, Giants, Jets. It's different down here. And Alabama's won so often that I don't believe they're content, because that's not Alabama football. But, no, we air the games. I'm in Mobile, Alabama. I love myself a little gold blue. My brother graduated from there, but I'd like Alabama in the championship. I would love to talk about how Cincinnati got screwed all month long if Alabama loses by 3, and be very happy that Alabama sneaks in and plays Georgia again in the semifinals.
I don't think it happens. I don't think that happens. I think Cincinnati, if they win, they're not getting Cincinnati. An undefeated Cincinnati team is not getting left out over a 2-loss Bama team. It's just it's not going to happen, because the selection committee's been telling us for a while now. Bama hasn't even been the top 1-loss team the last couple of weeks. Meanwhile, Cincinnati's one spot behind them. They got a game against a top 25 team. They have that win against Notre Dame that is going to continue to look really, really good even on Sunday, because Notre Dame isn't playing a game. And so you kind of look at all those factors and you're like, well, yeah, Bama's resume isn't as good as it's been in the past. They don't have those 28-point victories throughout the SEC season. So you kind of look at that and you're like, your second-best win if you're Alabama is 7-point win against Arkansas? Like that's why the selection committee hasn't given them the benefit of the doubt compared to Ohio State 2 weeks ago and then Michigan this past week. So I think Bama's got to win to get in unless there's total chaos, which would include Cincinnati losing in the conference championship to Houston.
Sure. Yes, and I happen to believe, and this is usually where Michigan stubs their own foot, right? Where they lose after they shouldn't lose. But I think Michigan is going to roll over Iowa. That may be a big-time blowout. We'll see what happens. Connor O'Gara, Saturday Down South. What else are you working on, as if I need to ask?
Everything, man. Podcast stuff. Podcast is going well. We're continuing to roll out new ideas, new content. But, yeah, Saturday Down South, we have everything right now that a college sports fan could want. It's just the best place, as I always say, to waste an afternoon. There's just so much content. Basketball season going on right now. It's a great time to be consuming all things college football.
Just to let you know, South Alabama Jaguars 4-1 against the spread. Just a tip. Just letting you know.
I'll tell my people.
All right. I appreciate it, Connor. Enjoy the football, man.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, man.
All right, Connor O'Gara. All right. I mean, yesterday we had who'd we have on? 24/7. Auburn 24/7.
Yes. Nathan King.
Nathan King slamming South Alabama. The proper answer would have been, when he's talking about a South Alabama flip to Auburn, the proper answer would have been, well, how'd that Roger McCreary flip to Auburn? That turned out okay. And why are we putting down Jay Coker? Why are we doing that? No reason to. We got Spring Hill basketball coming up.
We do.
What time's that at?
7:00.
All right.
Taking on their opponent.
Who is?
I don't know.
It's hard to say.
It is
hard to say.
Could be anyone.
I set you up for the alley-oop there.
Could be anyone.
All right. So we will have, let's see here, just to make sure we get the schedule correct. Of course, it would have been nice if I did this, you know, during the 8-minute commercial break, but I just want to make sure that everybody is well aware of when the pregame show starts tomorrow. Let's see here. On Saturday, we get the basketball game 6 to 10, but the football game coverage begins at 11:30 tomorrow on the Zoo. So we will be listening to that. Over there, you can listen to that over there. Root will be deer hunting. I'll be in Lafayette, but it's the games are at the same time, so I'll be tweeting from the Cajun Field press box on both games probably. Probably actually more on Alabama-Auburn.
Yeah, if you don't hear from me on Monday or ever again, you probably will have a good understanding of why. I'll never be heard from ever again.
Monday morning game plan.
I can't do another Monday, man. I can't do another Monday. Of all the Mondays, I've had to come in here after a just ridiculous blowing it, as Georgia likes to do, to Alabama. I've had to do that way too many times.
Hopefully that's not the case for your sake. But
it's not all about me. We've got far more people that listen to the show that would prefer.
Yes, I am rooting for Alabama, but I do believe Georgia is going to win 31-17.
I'm not giving you a score. I just hope everyone has fun.
So I think it's going to be, it'll be a good game. It may be a late Georgia touchdown. We'll see how it goes. Again, if Will Anderson can get a couple of turnovers, that would go a long way to a victory. All right, special thanks to all our guests all week long. We've been jam-packed all week long, so it's been a lot of fun previewing the game. Pigskin Pete was he up in Birmingham, right?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, real quick, coverage on Zoo begins at noon tomorrow.
At noon tomorrow.
That's right. Get the whole pregame show.
What did I say?
I'm not sure.
All right, because I got it here at 11:30.
Well, I've been told by a reliable source that it will be noon tomorrow.
All right, fair enough. Thanks to Pigskin Pete. Well, tune in at 11:30 anyways. You should be listening anyways. So one of the two stations. Pigskin Pete, thanks to Luke Johnson. Times PicayU, NOLA.com, talking Saints. Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com. Mick Gillespie from Bama Insider and Connor O'Gara from Saturday Down South against Spring Hill Hoops coming up at 7. Please, everybody, have a safe and fun weekend. One of us will definitely be back Monday. We'll see if the other one is back on Monday. Either way, keep it tuned in. Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP.
Today's music on Sports Radio 105.5 is brought to you by 96.5 The Crab, classic rock and blues.